Again, I want to say happy Mother's Day, and I just want to encourage our moms today and give you just a small sermonette, let's just say that. You say, is that possible for Brother David? We're going to try, all right? And try to encourage your heart just a little bit over the subject of Mother's Day. And I want to read one verse, and many of you are familiar with it, found right out of the Ten Commandments given to Moses in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. Today we want to honor our moms today, and I'm going to ask you to be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to talk a little bit about honoring our mothers. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. What a great day, Lord, you've given us thus far. And I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you today as we magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. I pray, Lord, for the parents within this room. Perhaps there are some parents here today, Lord, that are struggling with their children. Perhaps their family is not all that it needs to be. And I pray that this service somehow, some way, would bring some healing, Lord, and some restoration. I pray, God, that a sense of revival, Lord, and refreshing would come to their heart and their mind and give them the stability that they need to stand in grace and to look to you for all things. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of Almighty God that lives within us. And I pray that you'd help us today as we consider, Lord, the subject of being a mother. I pray, God, that you'd help the moms here today to leave this room encouraged. And Father, we honor them for their sacrifice, for what they do within the home and within the marriage, Lord, within this community and in this church. So we thank you, Lord, for moms. I pray that you'd help me to be an encouragement to them today, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen. I was reading about a man who used to lecture on children, and he did the lecturing when he was a single, and during his time as a professor, he got married, and his lectures changed over the years. As a matter of fact, when he was single, he started calling his lecture the Ten Commandments for Parenting. After his first child, he changed the lecture to 10 Hints for Parenting. After his second child, he changed the lecture to 10 Suggestions for Parenting. And when he had his third child, he just stopped lecturing. We can say today that parenting is very difficult, amen? It's a very difficult task. We live in a very, very depressed economy. We live in a world that's trying to pull our children away from us. And today, being a parent can be one of the most challenging and difficult things. And it's difficult today to even preach on the subject of mothers. And the reason being is our culture has literally changed the role and responsibility of a mom. Because of fatherlessness within the home and the rate of divorce, many mothers that are sitting here today are forced to work two jobs. And because of the depressed economy, they're not able to be with their children as much as they would like to. Years ago, and especially when I was growing up, my mom didn't have to work a job. In my day and age, moms usually were home. They were the caregivers. They were the role models in the home, nurturing, and they were taking care of the food and taking care of homework and doing all these things. But today, that role has been reversed. And in a lot of homes, both mom and dad are absent because it takes both parents to work. And so even more today, because of the struggle in the economy, because of fatherlessness within the homes, because of the rapid divorce rate that's facing our culture and even affecting our churches, even more today, we ought to honor the moms who are living their life according to the will of God, doing their very best in the struggle of life, trying to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of God. Mom, we honor you today, and we put our hands together, and we say thank you. Amen? We say thank you. You know, when I read the Bible, I find that the Scripture teaches us that we are to obey our parents. Right here in the Ten Commandments, the Bible tells you and I that we are to honor not only our father, but also we're to honor our mother. And this commandment that God gave Moses was one that was linked to a promise. As you honor your mother and you honor your father, the Bible says that the Lord will give you many days, long life upon the earth. And it's a promise that we have. We are told in Scripture that we are to obey. And I think all of us know that. But also, we are told in the Bible that we are to honor our mom and dad. As I was reading this week of one of the great men of God in the Bible, by the name of Elisha. Elisha, as he was called into the ministry by Elijah, the Bible tells you and I that the thing he wanted to do first, after he received his call of God, he wanted to go back home and honor his parents. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20, "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.'" The very first thing that Elisha wanted to do as he received the call of God, "Before I leave town, before I leave home, I want to go back and I want to love on mom and daddy. I want to let them know I love them, and I want to kiss my parents." It's an act of honoring the parent. The Bible tells you and I, we are not only to obey them, but the Bible also tells you and I, we are to honor them. And today we've heard some great tributes even from our own kids today, from the heart of a child, how they love their mother. But other men in the past have also stated how they've loved their mother and how their moms have changed them. Saint Augustine was a great religious leader, and he had a mother by the name of Monica. And according to him, in his writings, it was the prayers of his mother that brought him at the very foot of the cross to understand salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was John Quincy Adams, who was the second president of the United States. He said, "All that I am, my mother made me." Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, stated, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." And that great man of God by the name of Dwight L. Moody, who was there in Chicago, Dwight L. Moody said, "All that I've ever accomplished in my life, I owe to my mother." You know, I can say today that all that I am today is because of my mom. Although my mom's 600 miles away today, I would love to be with her today. I know that today that my mother loves me, that my mother cares for me, and it was because of the discipline within our home. It was because of the godly stand that my mom took in praying for me and my brother and my sisters. It's the reason why I'm here today. Well, I could be out at the bar stool today. I could be smoking dope today. I could be somewhere else besides the house of God, but my mom and daddy, they believed in taking us to church. Can you say amen? My mom and daddy didn't drop us off at the church and leave. My mom and daddy, they brought us to church, and my parents made sure that we minded in church. My mom and dad, they were that old-fashioned type. They would drag us to church. We were drugged to church. If we didn't behave in church, we knew what to expect after church. Can somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about? My parents made sure that we were in the house of God, and I'm thankful for that today, because being in the house of God at the age of 12 years old, I came to know the Lord. At the age of 19, I surrendered to ministry, all because I had a mom and dad that loved God, and they brought me to church. I thank God for my mother today. No wonder the writer who wrote the poem stated this. It says, "They say that man is mighty, he governs land and sea, he yields a mighty scepter on lower powers than he, but mightier power and stronger man from his throne is hurled, for the hands that rock the cradle is the hands that rules the world." No wonder we say today that we love our mothers. They have cared for us, they have brought us all that we are today, and we are to honor them today. Not only obey them, but the Bible says we are to honor them. And I want to give you three reasons very quickly why we ought to honor our parents, and then we're going to hear from the girls today, and I know you're going to enjoy their singing. And I hope that you write it down. Number one, we ought to honor our mothers because of their provision. When I was thinking about yesterday, all the things that my mom has done for my family and all the things that even my wife brings to our children, you have to think about their provision, what they bring into the home. I can say today in my years of ministry and watching moms over and over again within the home and within the family, that good godly mothers do not give up on their children. If you are a mom here today and you are in love with your family, you're in love with the Lord, and you're in love with your children, you will never ever give up on your children. A godly mother will never ever give up on praying and helping her children. As a matter of fact, I've seen some moms over the years, no matter what has happened, they were very persistent in rescuing their children from danger. There's some things out there, kids, that are lurking around the corner that wants to steal away your purity, that wants to take away your integrity, damage your tenacity. There's some things out there that's trying to destroy you as a teenager, as a college student. And you need to understand, God has placed your mom within the role of the home to watch out over you. And I'm here to tell you, you don't mess with a mama's children. Can somebody say amen? When somebody starts messing with their children, the first person that's going to be there, always you're going to find mama right there. Thank God for a mom that brought provision and a sense of protection, that she would not allow certain interferences to come in to your home. And you may be here today and you're saying, Pastor, that's exactly where my household is at today. There's some interferences, there's some things that we are coping with, and my teen doesn't understand. They don't understand the rules, they don't understand the parameters, they fuss and they fight and they argue. I'm here to tell you, Mom, don't you give up, don't you give out, and don't you give in. Your child needs you today to bring protection to your home. Nowhere are we to negotiate with a teenager. Nowhere are we to negotiate with a child. We are to instruct them in the fear and the admonition of God and train them so God can use them for His honor and for His glory. If you believe that, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. They need direction. And when I think about provision, no other person in the Bible as a mom illustrates that better to me than Moses' mother. When you read about Moses' mother in the book of Exodus in chapter number 2 and verses 1 to verse number 10, you find an amazing woman that loved her child in spite of all the difficulties. She was going to make sure that she found a way to rescue and to bring protection to her child in a very changing and wicked culture. She wanted to make sure that that child's life was going to be preserved. And you read about her story in Exodus chapter number 2 and verse number 1, where the Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child," he's a great-looking kid, "she hid him 3 months." Verse 3, "And when she could no longer hide him," watch this, "she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the riverbank. And her sister stood afar off that would be done to him. And then Pharaoh's daughter came down to wash herself at the river and her maidens along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said the sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto the house of Pharaoh. And he became her son, and she called his name Moses, as she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" No other mom in the Bible illustrates to me this thing of protection and provision like Moses' mother. The Bible tells you and I that she loved her son so much in the midst of a changing culture. She was going to place her son in an ark of safety. She was going to place her son in a basket of grace. And that mama took that basket of grace and she weaved it with her own hands. She made sure that she put everything necessary in that basket of grace to bring provision and protection to her son. When I thought about this week, I thought about how that mom fashioned that basket of grace together. I see that mom taking that basket, and the basket was fashioned with, number one, choices. She was given Moses an opportunity to live. Mom, can I tell you today, as you place your children in a basket of grace, as you weave these baskets for your children, give your children the opportunity to have choices in their life, to choose the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them the opportunity to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by bringing them to church, placing them in the choir, placing them in the ministry. Give them the choices that they need so that they can be responsible men and women that that can bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and actually live out their life in faith, believing in Him. If you believe it, say amen. Here's a mom that made an atmosphere that brought choices to the home. Mom, I encourage you, place your kid in an atmosphere of choices, godly choices, where they can choose. Put them in God's house where they can find good role models. You know, the world wants to set up so many heroes for our kids today. You know, it seems like the more wicked they are, the more famous they are. You know what? I want my kids to have role models that are in the house of God. Godly men that are setting here and godly women that are setting here and godly teachers and godly principals and role models and coaches that they can see. That individuals that they show that there's a difference in being a child of God. There's a difference in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need around here. Mom and Dad, I'm calling upon you today. Rise above the mundane. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and give the next generation and the generation of children that is here, give them a role model that they can see there's a difference in a person's life when God is in the midst. Can you say amen? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah to God. Amen. She made a basket. And that basket was fashioned with choices. It gave him an opportunity to live. I also see in the basket, it was fashioned with compassion. Gave him an opportunity to love. It won't be until years later that Moses is even going to understand the love and the compassion that was fashioned within that basket. That mama formed that thing and placed that baby in there full of compassion and full of grace. And it would be years later that the same love that Moses' mother had for him, that love would be transferred to the people of God as Moses became the great man of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to verse 25, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know what? I believe somewhere down the road, that love of that mother on the inside of Moses' heart, how he's heard the story of how his mama gave him some choices, how his mama put him in a basket of grace and gave him some compassion. It gave him not only the opportunity to live, but it gave him the opportunity to love. And he reached out to the people of God and he loved them with a love that God gives every true child of God. Can you say amen? The basket of grace, I see, it's fashioned with choices. This basket of grace is fashioned with compassion. And I see this basket was fashioned with character. It gave him the opportunity to lead. I believe that she took all that she had within her, and she wanted to make that basket to provide for her child and to protect him so he could be a generational leader. Mom and Dad, can I tell you, in this generation today, more than ever, listen, Mom and Dad, this generation today, more than ever, we need some teenagers, we need some young people that's going to step up to the plate and be a leader that God's called them to be. We need some generational leaders today. Can someone say amen? We need some kids of integrity, some kids of purity that's going to stand up in the crowd and say, I will not surrender, I will not give in and give out, I'm not going to give up, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Moses was that type of individual. Why? Because his mama put him in a basket of grace. His mama gave him some opportunities. Can I challenge you today? Put your children in the basket of God's marvelous grace. Give them the opportunity to love and to live and to lead for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Not only do we honor mom because of the provision that they have, but second of all, we honor mom because of their protection. Not only the provision, what they provide, but also for their protection. One of the most unusual and saddest stories in the Bible concerning a mother is found within the book of 2 Samuel. And here you'll find a lady that is not mentioned very often in the Bible. Perhaps you've never even heard of her. You may have never read her story. But it's one of the most saddest stories of a mom in the Bible. A story of sacrifice, a story of love, a story of compassion, how this mother just exemplifies the very fact of a mother protecting her children. Her name is Rizpah. You've probably never heard of her. Her story is found in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse number 10. The story of Rizpah is this. King David is on the throne, and the Gibeonites have talked to King David. And because of what Saul did to the Gibeonites, they come to David, and David asked them, "What can I do for you to make things better? How can I make your environment and your life better?" The Gibeonites said, "Because of all that Saul's family did to us, we want you to give us, listen, 7 sons of Saul. And we want to take their life. And we want to hang their dead corpse up on a wall. And that will give us peace." David consented to what was going on. They gave them 7 sons of Saul, and David, the only son that he protected, was Mephibosheth, because that was Jonathan's son. Those other 7 sons, they are massacred and they are murdered at David's consent. And the Gibeonites took them out. And here is a mother. 2 of the sons was the mother of Rizpah, 2 of her boys. And as she watched her sons be slain by the sword, something very, very spectacular takes place when it comes to the character of a mother never, ever, ever letting down her guard to protect her children. Listen to her story in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10. "And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night." When you study the story for 5, perhaps even 6 months, this woman went out there by the wall of her son's dead, deceased bodies, laid a blanket out, and for 5 or 6 months, every time a bird would come by, she would chase it away. Every time a beast of the field would come by to devour the bodies, she would chase it away. She wouldn't, even in their dead, lifeless state, that mother was sworn to protect the body of her sons. Can I tell you today, friend, there's some buzzards that you as a mother need to run away from your children. Let me tell you, there's some fowls of the air that's ready to swoop down upon your daughters, upon your sons, and devour your family. Mama, God's called you to protect that family. Mama's called you to chase away some buzzards. Somebody say amen right there. God's called you, Mama, to chase away some foul birds of the air and some beasts that come knocking on your door. Everybody that your kids hang around with, you better check out who they're hanging out with. It's your responsibility to make sure that you chase off the buzzards. It's your responsibility, Mom and Daddy, to make sure you chase off the beast. It's your responsibility to make sure that the fowls of the air will not sweep down and snatch away their purity, and snatch away their character, and snatch away their tenacity, and snatch away their testimony. You chase them off for the honor and glory of God, and your daughters and your sons will be better for it. Can you say amen? She is out there protecting her family. She won't give up. She won't give out. She's not giving in. You know, there's been a few buzzards I've had to chase off in my time. And I'm so thankful for some of the buzzards my mama, my daddy had to chase off. Thank God, there's no telling where me and my brother Bill would be today if it wasn't for the stern backbone of my mother. She stood her ground and she wouldn't give up. She stood her ground. She wouldn't give in. She stood her ground and made sure that we were going to hear the word of God and see the things of God. And she chased some things off of our family, and I'm so thankful for it. Mama, I honor you today for chasing every buzzard off your front porch. I honor you today for chasing off every foul being that's out there trying to swoop down upon your children and ruin their integrity. I honor you today. I honor you today for standing with the sword of the word of God in your hand, making sure that your children are protected from the things of the world, and you're telling about the word of God. I honor you today. And not only do I honor you, but God honors you today. So don't you give up. Don't you feel depressed today. You're doing the right thing. And one of these grand and glorious days, God's going to bless you and you'll see the fruit of your labor. Can you say amen? Hallelujah to God. So don't you give up. We honor you today for your protection. We honor you today for your provision. And we honor you today for your prospect. By the word prospect, I mean outlook, your capability of being a visionary. Thank God that my mother could see what I could become. Thank God she's seen beyond the circumstances. Thank God she's seen beyond what I could become for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mama, you look beyond the immediate right now. You look beyond the immediate and you look within your daughter, you look within your son, and you see what they can become. They can become something great and marvelous for the honor and glory of Christ, so don't you give up. Those times that you've been in your bedroom and you've saturated your pillow at night with your tears crying out to God, listen, God sees every single tear, God hears every single prayer, and there just may come a day that you see something grand and glorious in the life of your children because you prayed and you've labored and you've toiled all these years long. You don't give up. Don't you give out. Don't you think that the culture has won and the world philosophy has won. There's a great big God. He's still sitting on the throne. Can you say amen? And he hears us and he sees us and he knows our pain and he knows our sorrow. Why, his mother, his very mother, Mary, seen with a broken heart how her son had to go through all sorts of things. He understands the makeup of a mom. Thank God Mary could see beyond Calvary and seeing what Jesus was to become. He's a son of God. He was God with great glory and power bringing forgiveness. And Mama, you look beyond the immediate right now and you see what your child can become. Timothy was an individual like that. His mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, seeing what Timothy could become. And their faith was transferred to him. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded, Timothy, that it's in thee also. That grandmother and mother had an outlook. They seen what Timothy could become if faith would grab a hold of his heart. Today, your mom is worthy of honor because she is the person that will always believe in you. When everything, when the world has turned away, when everyone has given up, when everyone has turned their back, your mama stands there as one who believes in you, who believes that you can be better, who brought you into this world and gave you life and prayed for potential. And prayed for power with God. Your mom is the one that believes in you today. And so we honor her today. She is the one that provides for you strength. She's the one that provides for you in the midnight hour. She is the one that has built a spiritual heritage in your heart. And so I call upon every person here today whose mama stood on the word of God. I call upon every person here today whose mother lived a life of faith. You know where you're at in your spiritual journey. You know what your mama would want from you today. You know the spiritual heritage that she built within you. I'm telling you today that she still believes in you today. Even though she may be in heaven, she believes in you today. And she wants you to get on the right road. She wants your heart right with God. She wants you to train your children, train your grandchildren, love your wife, love your husband. She wants you to do what is right in the eyes of Almighty God. And I believe sometimes if you'll just listen real well, you can almost hear the echoes of heaven and the applause of heaven as Mama may be in the grandstand saying, run this race, son. Run the race God has for you. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. One of these grand and glorious days, we will hear the Lord say, welcome in to the joy of the Lord. Can you say amen? We honor our mothers today. Thank God for their stand. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you. We adore you. We thank you for the gift of mothers. And today we honor them. We honor them with our words. We honor them with our actions. We honor them today, Lord, with our life. And Father, we honor you for giving us the gift of mothers. So as we worship together in song, as the sisters come and lead us in worship, may we reflect upon the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ that you have brought to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.